This summer, we're going to be talking about more about, and we have different subjects that we're going to be discussing. And tonight, I am tasked with more about holiness, more about holiness. When we think about holiness, we must consider, of course, where holiness begins, the root of holiness, the bedrock of holiness, and that's God Himself. The more I've considered this idea of holiness, and we understand that God Himself is holy, the Bible teaches us in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and verse number 11. This was after the children of Israel had been delivered out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, and of course they were saved that day. And then this song of Moses has been inspiredly constructed, if you will. And in verse number 11, we see something very interesting in this particular song that Moses is singing with the people. He says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" I was thinking about that and considering, what is God? God is holy. Satan tries to imitate everything about God. But one thing he cannot imitate, Sister Evelyn, is holiness. Because holiness literally means to be separated from sin. Well, the devil is the father of all lies. He is the one that is the progenitor of all evil, if you will. He's the beginning of it. He is the one that tried to take over in heaven. He is the one that truly tries to get people away from God. In other words, away from holiness. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verses 44 and 45, the very next verse, Leviticus 11, God Himself is holy. Now, we're going to talk about how to apply these things in a few minutes, but we want to set a little groundwork because holiness depicts our God. He Himself is holy. In Leviticus chapter 11, starting at verse number 44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves." In other words, set yourselves apart. One of the hardest things for people to do, and sometimes even for us as children of God, is to consistently set ourselves apart from that which is sin, or that which is evil, or that which is darkness or wrong. So here he tells them that they needed to consecrate themselves. "And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." God has always wanted his people to be set apart from others. Now, when we consider this, God has morally set himself apart from sin, and he encourages us and commands us to do likewise. He has morally set himself apart from pollution, impurity, and defilement, and he encourages and commands us to do likewise. And so this is something that we need to keep in mind. This is something I need to keep in mind on a daily basis, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, second by second. And so God, he commands us, he encourages us to be just like him. But notice these words of encouragement that I give you. In Romans 3 and verse 23, the Bible teaches us, "For all have sinned and fallen short." Now, we run past this word right here, glory of God. Well, what's the glory of God, Brother Brian? It's his holiness. It's his holiness. God is holy. And so when you think of the Jews and the Gentiles, according to Romans 1, Romans 2, and then in Romans 3, he says, all have sinned. No one is exempt from it. And so God had to declare all under sin in order to save them. Yet we have the responsibility, brethren, to strive to be mature, to strive to be holy. When people say that they can't be holy, they're actually saying that they don't believe God. For God says, be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart, because I'm set apart. And the more that I've considered that, I thought about this is intentional. This is something that we have to have in our minds. We have to be considering this on a daily basis. For we know we've all have sinned and transgressed the law of God. However, in 1 John 1, if you will, look at verse number 9. Of course, you can go to verse number 7 and how the Bible encourages us and commands us to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. But in verse number 9, the Bible teaches us to confess sin, to confess fault. Look at verse number 9. And notice something that we learn about our God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great God. That we can also contribute to our holiness. We contribute to it. And what that means is we know that God is holy and he encourages and commands us to be holy. And so when we're walking in the light and we make some mistakes, we sin against God. We transgress the law of God because of his holiness that encourages us. It compels us to do what? We confess that. We make that right. Why? Because of the holiness of Almighty God. God has to respond to sin because he's holy. He has no choice but to. His holiness demands that he responds to it. And so for that reason, we must settle in our minds to grow on a daily basis. Now let's go to the passage that was read by Brother Leon, 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, he read verses 13 through verse 16. But in 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, let's ask a question. How can we be holy today? How can we be holy today? The Bible teaches us that we can be holy. The Bible commands us to be holy. So we know it's attainable. But how? How do we do this? Let me give you some things to consider. Number one, we can remind ourselves of how much holiness is a mentality. It's a way of thinking. It's how we take things into our minds and then act those things out. Which means that it's not just going to happen because you want it to happen. We have to put some work into it. Holiness requires work. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we're just going to look at verse number 1. Paul, as he was commanding the Christians at Corinth in verses 11 all the way through the end of the chapter, to stay away from idols. See, during the first century, they were not contending with denominationalism, Brother Royce. They were contending with idols. Just like in the Old Testament, contending with idols. And so Paul was commanding the brethren that come out from among them, be separate. Be separate. And God was telling his people, I need you to be separate in order for you to be my children and I can be your father. I need you to be separate. It's intentional. It's a mentality. It's not something that's going to happen accidentally. And it is something that if we're not careful, we can actually fall into unholiness. But look at verse number 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, so if you read verses 11 through verse number 18 of chapter 6, you'll see why he says what he says in verse number 1. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? God says, I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters. That's a promise. Many people take that for granted. I believe some Christians take that for granted, that the Father is always going to be there. He will if you are holy. But if you're not, then there is no identity. God's identity is in holiness. Therefore, we must be holy as well. Separate, set apart from sin, it's intentional. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us do what? Notice two things. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the mind, spirit, perfecting what, brethren? Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of the Lord. The idea there, Brother Royce, is maturity. We can actually grow in God's holiness. That's why when you're baptized into Christ, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and now the sanctification process begins, where you begin to get rid of all the things that you have been bogged down with before that. And it takes years sometime to cleanse all of those things. One preacher said one time that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Yeah, because they was in the wilderness that long. And sometimes it takes a lifetime to get certain things out of your life. But there's a God that's gracious and merciful, that he walks with us the whole way. As long as we're walking with him, he walks with us. As long as we are walking behind his son, his son is going to lead us all the way back home to God. What a blessing. And so this takes time. It takes effort. And it requires us to do that which is right. It takes practice. Now, that ought to encourage you. I remember when I was playing high school football, and the coach, he said something. He said, "You've heard it said, practice makes perfect, but you can practice the wrong thing." Perfect practice makes perfect. At least run the right play. You can always perfect the play, but you got to run the right play. I remember, I've told this to the Fry Single young man we was working one time. I said, I remember I was responsible for blocking the defensive end. And I was the pulling guard. And I pulled, and I went up, and I got the linebacker. Well, the defensive end, he got the quarterback and nailed him. Man, my coach grabbed me by the helmets when that was legal. And he yanked me to the ground, and he said, "Bonner, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, when will you have time to do it right?" That was in high school. I still remember that. So what do I do today? I try to take that mentality even to the scriptures. I don't mind being wrong. I mind staying wrong. Sometimes we're so afraid of making mistakes that we can't even live for God. To be holy requires practice. There's a God in heaven who's merciful. He desires for us to walk after his son. Will we make mistakes from time to time, sin from time to time, make a misstep from time to time? Absolutely. Make it right. That's holiness. That's holiness. If that don't encourage you, I don't know what will. I'm thankful there's a God in heaven that is very merciful. Yet we should keep each other accountable. So I leave you with this that I think is just so encouraging. When we think about holiness, it requires us being intentional with our spiritual intake. It requires us being intentional with our secular influences. And it requires us being intentional with our social interactions. Friends, being holy, it requires us to really pay attention. And so it made me think about what I had Brother Pridemore read. And you think about Leviticus 19, and what did God attach holiness to? Listening to your parents. Young people, learn to listen to your parents. But I don't agree with them. Didn't ask you to agree with them. Need to listen. Need to listen. I think about the commandments of Jesus Christ. And I remember being young in the faith. I don't agree with that. I paid for it. Guess what now? I agree with everything Jesus says. I do. Now, the struggle in the application is real. But I agree with everything he says 100%. I just got to keep on working on the application. Why? Because if I'm going to be holy as he is holy, then I better agree with what he says. And I need to believe what he says. So, hopefully this will help us in our holiness as it relates to our spiritual intake, taking in God's word. It is holy, Romans 7:12. Our secular influences. Be careful of corrupt communications. They corrupt morals. They corrupt good morals. Young people, watch what you put in your ears. Watch what you put in your eyes. Watch where you frequent. Watch where you go. Ask yourself one simple question. Wherever you go, can I take Jesus? Whatever I'm listening to, can Jesus listen to it with me? If not, then I need to rethink that. Why? Because the God of heaven is desiring for us to live with him. So our social interactions is so important as well. Let's have people in our lives that's going to sharpen us. But what does that mean? I remember talking to my mom a few months back, and we was talking about Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. She says, Mike, both pieces of metal might not be the same metal. And one may be dull and the other one may be sharp. But at the end of the hitting together, they ought to be sharper, both of them. That's true. I need someone to sharpen me. You need someone to sharpen you. We need people. We need each other to help us be holy. We need each other. We're all in this together.